Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
Singer Jerry Fish, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And you're cranking up your electric sideshow again for the first time this year after Darndale in Dublin. Before we get to that, you were listening to Colin O'Gara there, which
I was.
I mean, it was a little bit downbeat, I think, for people. But that idea of reconnecting to the real world and getting people back into real, that's very much your kind of thing as well, isn't it?
It's exactly what I do as an entertainer. That's what an entertainer does. It's kind of get you away from, I guess it's another fantasy world, but it's real.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I was listening to your GPT
chat
earlier as well. Yeah, but I mean, that's, I guess, the internet. It's the brave new world. You know, let's see what happens. But I do think there are a lot of young people who are kind of throwing their phones away as well and not really engaging. I think, you know, it's where our business is at, and it's, you know, there's fun to be had there, but it's also not the real world. I think a lot of people are conscious of that too, you know.
Yeah. You've got into connecting with nature as you've got older. You're a bird watcher now, are you?
I've always done that. I mean, yeah. I grew up in South London, but there was a big park there, Kennington Park, and I think kids and nature, it's natural. So I've always kind of had a growth for nature. And I'm an avid bird watcher, shall we say, but I'm surrounded by them. I live on Mount Leinster.
And what's the buzz from watching birds?
Well, I think, you know, they say spend time in the here and now. And if you're looking at a little wren or you're looking at, you're in their consciousness.
Present.
Yeah, you're present and you're with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I lived in Dublin, I was always in the Botanic Gardens, you know, trying to check out the kingfisher, and you'd regularly see them. You know, if your eyes are open.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. For a rock and roller, you kind of advocate a fairly simple life, don't you? You decided, I think, early on, maybe it was your mother put into you, you're not materialistic.
No, well, I think with an emotional fish, I mean, since I was seven, I'm meeting Tom Dunn later today or this afternoon to talk about why we got into music. But since I was seven years old.
That's in the Sugar Club tonight.
Today, 2 p.m.
2 p.m., okay, yeah.
So T-Rex was my kind of, you know, so since I was 7 years old, I wanted to be a rock star.
Yeah.
And then I signed one of the biggest record deals in Ireland with an Emotional Fish. And I think becoming a rock star wasn't really what I thought it was going to be, do you know?
Why?
Well, there were no working class people around, you know, but the journalists were all middle class people. So you get this kind of ideology that, you know, they're all from the streets and they've escaped some kind of ghetto, but they haven't.
Do you know what I mean? So, I think of the NME when I was growing up, which was essentially college boys kind of getting excited about, oh, look at these gritty working class
people. I mean, so all the journalists are kind of, you know, so I felt kind of lonely there and I didn't really like fame, you know, so.
Okay.
And then when that kind of went, we were signed by Amateur to come from Atlantic Records, so it was a massive achievement, you know, and loved being in a band. I think now I was very lucky. That was my kind of sport, you know what I mean? I was always in a band, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we were in garages learning our craft, I guess, you know.
Yeah. Did you nearly say kept us out of trouble, was it?
It did keep us, well, actually by getting us into trouble, you know.
Perfect. Yeah, yeah.
So, but and then I dropped out, so getting back to it was really about on my terms, basically. So the whole Jerry Fish and the Jerry Fish Electric Sideshow was basically me running the whole thing, you know.
Okay, and it's not about careerism or money or whatever. Obviously a guy has to live,
It's always been about, you know, from the very beginning, longevity, and I think that's about doing what you love doing. I feel very privileged and very lucky to just do what I love doing, do you know?
Yeah. So you're coming to, you're bringing the sideshow to a thing called the Made in Darndale Festival.
Yes.
And people might wonder what your connection with Darndale, but you did live in Darndale as a kid, yeah?
As I said, I grew up, my family are all from Ringsend, which I'm actually doing another thing next week on the 21st in the Bord Gáis, Song for Docklands. So I'm doing something for Ringsend where I've written songs with the kids. And my family are from Ringsend.
Yeah.
My two great-grandmothers were neighbours in cottages. So
I didn't think
hundreds
anyone
of
moved
years.
Out of Ringsend like they're all there.
In a coffin, you know, that's basically. But but I guess in the 60s, my parents moved to South London. So we were there for the 60s. And in the late 70s, I moved to Darndale. When we came home, there was a recession. There was far too much racism in London, and, you know, it was time to leave. My mother always wanted to come home. I think she was always lonely in London. So we moved back to Darndale. So we were kind of, it was a new development then. You know?
What was it like then?
I'd never seen a cow before. So to me, it was like moving to the country. And I thought, I also thought, you know, I'd been an Irish so-and-so, you know, kind of taking black eyes for the IRA since I was a little boy.
Okay.
And I thought I'd be welcomed with open arms by Ireland when I landed. But that wasn't the case, you know. Okay. I was English then. So I had to kind of survive that. I didn't last very long. I maybe came here when I was 13, 14 and left when I was 16, 17, you know.
So back to Darndale now for the festival. And what can people expect from... So you, it is a version of your electric sideshow that you bring into Darndale.
So for the last 10 years, I've run the Jerry Fish Electric Sideshow and Electric Picnic. It's basically a circus spectacular. I'm mad about circus, so it's a lot of circus performers and music, basically, at the same time. So it's more of a rock show, you know. Yeah, a lot of fun.
Okay, okay. So what can people expect?
Fun. I think really that's it, you know what I mean? And kind of I like to involve the crowd. I like them, and we've got some great performers out there as well. Stilt Walkers and Jilly Bean. There's some good fun.
Do rings anything then? So this is, you said you wrote songs like about the area
about the area. I'm crazy. I'm really kind of very much interested in a nautical history of Ireland, particularly Ringsend, and I guess Dublin history and London history, because the city was built by the same people, you know. The Dutch built all London's docklands and Dublin's docklands.
Did they?
Around the same time, yeah.
Right.
They were the people who could build with wood, build the piers and docks and stuff like that. So it goes back, you know. Dublin is the second city of the British Empire, and London and Dublin are very connected. So I'm fascinated with that history, because I've obviously my own life. And I kind of met with the kids in Ringsend, and really, they're calling it Silicon Bay now, you know. So yeah, it's a changing place. But, you know, it's got an amazing amount of history in Ringsend, so that's
been fun. And it's kind of, the Ringsend Raytown people would still very much regard themselves as being a kind of a part of a maritime nautical kind of culture, wouldn't they? Like
that is the culture of, yeah, I mean, it's called Raytown from fishermen coming from Tor Bay and Torquay to kind of fish there, you know, the ray that they catch there because of the two sandbanks in Dublin Bay, you know. So it's a fascinating area, and what the kids are doing now is, I'm not a big football fan, but they're a big football team. They've got the park there, Ringsend Park. So it was just great to be, I guess for some reason I've been brought back to where I grew up, you know, in Ringsend and Darndale, you know.
Yeah. And come here, the electric sideshow has kind of grown now, hasn't it? Like at the Electric Picnic, you more or less have your own festival.
Fishtown, Melvin's given us Fishtown to run now. So,
yeah.
I mean, I've always put together a festival within a festival, you know. I think I just took it on and kind of wanted to do everything. I build props. I have a big barn at home. I've turned into a theatre during the lockdown, you know. So I like building stuff. Yeah, I like, I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I thought we were maybe all going to go virtual. So I kind of thought, well, I better have my own theatre.
Right. And did you put on anything down there?
No, not yet. No.
Yeah. I think that's the next move. Where do you live? Is it in the middle of nowhere?
Is definitely in the middle of nowhere. It's on Mount Leinster. It's where the last wolf in Ireland was killed. So I'm there to keep her company.
So you've built this theatre in the barn. And you reckon the idea is ultimately like an event on your own?
Well,
I think Willie Nelson does something like that, doesn't he, every year on his own grounds?
More and more, you know. I mean, I've been in the music business now it's 40 years now. It's ridiculous, you know what I mean? It's most of my life, and it just changes all the time. And you know, the internet is probably it now, and I think music is free now. You know, we don't get anything back for the music we create, yet it still costs money to create. So it's really in a bit of it's stumped at the moment, you know, it's changed. So I think the only way is like through kind of a Kickstarter and involving your fans. So that'd probably be my next move. So I may use the theatre then.
To crowdfund to make an album or something?
Yeah, well, yeah. I think it's more pre-sales, you know, because yeah, I don't think you get to sell. As soon as you put something up on Spotify, it's basically free, you know. There's not enough of a return for artists on Spotify, so.
So, listen, is the whole thing, kind of the whole game screwed for young bands coming through now, yeah?
It is broken. It's definitely broken, but as in... it's different. It keeps changing. So for young bands, you know, I think some of them are ahead of the game. You know, they're kind of like involving your fans is basically it. I mean, we used to have a piece of paper at the front of the gig where people had put their phone number and stuff. I don't know what we did with all the pieces of paper, but look how easy that is to do now. Do you know?
Yeah.
With the internet. So I do think, you know, on the positive side of the internet.
So these
you can
bands
be independent.
Can create their tribe, like, and create their...
It's the kind of only way.
Family and communicate with them, yeah.
But unfortunately, you know, it does cost money to make records. It's as simple as that. You can't make them for free. But then you've no... You don't recoup afterwards. So that's the hole to plug, really.
Yeah. And are record companies giving young bands those advances anymore and giving them big money to go off to
NASA
and make an album?
No, I don't. I think we were very lucky to have kind of experienced that.
Yeah, it was a good old time.
And massive tours. You know, we did like 3-4 month tours of the States and Scandinavian Europe. You know, we were all over the place, funded by the label, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, no, I don't think that happens. And labels are looking for 360 now. They want some of your live entertainment. So, I mean, I guess I'm very lucky, as I keep saying, but to kind of have the experience to kind of be independent and know how the business works, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I think the second most important thing in life is to be lucky, but the first most important thing is you have to know you're lucky as well, don't you?
Because yes,
that's
the gratitude.
If you don't know you're lucky, you might as well
gratitude.
Not be lucky.
Yeah, that is gratitude, you know, and I think that's it, yeah.
Okay, so today you and Tom Dunn is in the Sugar Club, and is he kind of talking about your favourite songs from the 70s?
Yeah, well,
and 80s,
it's a makey up show.
Excellent.
We have any idea what we're going to
okay,
do.
Okay, so but time in the company of two interesting guys. Anyway.
Well, we should be interested. Yeah. Well, one interesting guy and Tom.
And what time is that on, did you say?
2 p.m. today, okay. Yeah, I'll be racing there today.
And then the Maiden Darndale Festival is on Sunday, May 28th.
Yes.
And then the Sing-A-Song of Docklands is... So you're doing it, there's a live gig around that in Dublin's Borgosh Energy Theatre on Sunday, May the 21st.
That's next Sunday,
Jerry Fish, thank you very much. That was
thank
a lovely
you,
Sunday
Brendan.
Conversation.
Thank
I like
you,
that
sir.
Note. Thanks, Jerry.